I want to talk to you this morning about victory in Christ, and this is just so much part of my heart right now, the anticipation that I have with my own personal life to walk in absolute victory in Christ, and to really know what that means. I mean, it's an easy religious term that we can just kind of throw out there, but I truly want to embrace it. And I had seen a video clip of Paul Harvey. I don't know how many of you know Paul Harvey. I seen him many, many years ago, but I saw it again a couple weeks ago, and I thought, you know what? I felt like I needed to just show that to you. And I'll kind of tie it all in together, but it's Paul Harvey. When I was introduced to him, it was on WJR, and he used to, I think it was in the mornings about 9 o'clock, he would do the news. And he did it, he would do the news from a biblical worldview, in my opinion. And there was so much prophetic language that would just come from him that I would just hear. This particular clip that I'm going to play for you, it was done in 1964. I was one, and many of you that I'm looking at, you weren't even, okay? And some of you that I'm looking at, you were a long time already. So, those of you who are already here in 64, I want you to try and go back in your minds. What America was like then, what the culture was like, and I want you to listen to these words that were absolutely, if he would have said this 2-3 weeks ago, you would have gone, yeah, okay, yeah, I can see where he gets all that. But this was said 59 years ago on the airwaves of America. Brandon, would you show that, please?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yeah. I know what that there's a feeling of powerlessness that can overshadow an individual or a body of people. Whether it's a child in school who knows what it feels like to feel bullied and you feel powerless to do anything about it. And some of you have that experience. Maybe it's not direct, but maybe it was indirect, and maybe you're 50 plus years old, but you still have the repercussions of that feeling of helplessness during that time in your life, and it made you feel something, and it changed who you are today because of that helpless state. Maybe there's some of you ladies that you've lived through abusive situations, and you know what I mean when I tell you that there is a feeling of helplessness. Maybe when you were young, or maybe even older, an abusive marriage or abusive home, you know what that feeling is. To a man, maybe it translates into a job who has a controlling boss, and he's come to the age where, how can I change now? How can I change my career now? And there's that feeling of helplessness that he feels and feels so overwhelmed in. That time when life has done something you cannot change, a loss of a job or a death of a family member, in that overwhelming shadow that comes upon our hearts and our souls that I classify as feeling powerless. What I'm going to talk to you about is a victory that is found in Christ, that I'll tell you I feel so passionate about, that I wish that this entire body of people could get what I feel inside when I talk about Christ and the victory that is found in Him. And this unction that I feel inside to say, please, will you start living for Christ with everything that's within you? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, I'm just going to read it to you. In a few minutes, I'm going to have you go to Ephesians 6. But right now, just listen to these words. John was speaking of false prophets and the spirit of the Antichrist 2,000 years ago. But here's what he said to his people. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Who's them? The false prophets and the spirit of the Antichrist. And listen to the rest of that verse. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. While it's absolutely foolish for us to underestimate the devil's power, I never encourage you to underestimate the devil's power. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I believe that to the church, it is fatal to us if we overestimate his power. Are you listening? There is a perfect balance between those two subjects. However great the power of the enemy is, he has been overcome by a mighty God. And when I say a mighty God, it's all inclusive. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I love our bulletin cover. Look at it. It says the Godhead, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lion and the Lamb. I love that. How great is our God? 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 That's my theme. That's my heart. That's my passion. I recognize the power of the enemy who wants to destroy. But greater than that is in this service, we will recognize the one who has already won the victory. And here's the deal. Christ's victory is my victory. It is my victory. And I'm talking personally. I don't know where you're going to fit into that. I hope by the time we get through this service, there's some real decisions that are made in your life as well. If you aren't already there, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes," did you hear that part? "When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitly with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Father, I'm asking that something dynamic and real would happen in revelation in each one of our hearts and spirits, that I too will be changed as a result of your presence here and your holy word that we share here today. Keep me out of your way, Lord, so that you have business with each one of us and that you can change us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first thing I challenge you with is the assurance of power in Christ. We have to start knowing that. Ephesians 6:10 starts off by saying, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." The first two words are "be strong." Be strong. I'm telling you, you need to stop fear. You need to stop doubt. You need to stop the spirit of quit that wants to creep itself into the Christian heart. I recognize that this video that I showed you potentially is in direct conflict to what I'm trying to accomplish in this service. What we heard from Paul Harvey was a prophetic message to a nation that needed to wake up 49 years ago. It's never too late. And I'm saying to the church, I'm saying to Dan Berger, it's time, man, for you to wake up. It's time for you to start recognizing who Jesus Christ really is and start living in the things that He has offered. You need to find yourself always ready with a fresh strength in Christ. Too many of us are walking around with heavy spirits and overwhelmed lives. Too many. Is there anybody out there willing to admit it right now? It's Quite a few hands. Quite a few hands. Listen, I am not trying to minimize the things that are real in life, okay? There are things that are going to get us down in moments. I'm not talking about a fleeting moment. I'm talking about a lifestyle. Some of you have a lifestyle of a heavy spirit. You have a lifestyle of feeling overwhelmed. Whenever anybody asks you how you're doing, you always say, busy. But you say busy with a sense of pride. There's always that countenance and that spirit. I'm not asking you to fake it. I'm asking you to believe. There's a difference. Because we can attempt to fake it in front of a world that so needs Christ, but it's not going to sustain you. But I tell you what will sustain you is Christ Himself. To always have that fresh strength in Christ, which, by the way, is available and is available from the start to the finish, from the Alpha to the Omega, from Genesis to Revelation, from the birth of your life to the death of your life and on, His power is able to sustain you in everything that He has asked of you. Yeah? Let me tell you what the devil says to you. He says fear. He says fear. He says fear difficulties. He says fear the dark and the heavy surroundings that you have in your current culture. He wants you to recoil away instead of being battled in heart and purpose and move forward with a sense of victory already in your heart. He says doubt. Doubt. Doubt what God has said. Did God really say? It happens in the Christian mind too, you know. It happens in the Christian heart too. It's happened in every one of our hearts, if we would be honest, that there's been those moments of faith challenge where we stood there and in a fleeting moment, all of a sudden this thought would sweep through you. Is there really a God? And then all of a sudden you shake yourself into reality and say, of course there's a God. But see, He wants you to look around at your surroundings. He wants you to cower and give up. That's what He's looking for from the church particularly. But in the individual, I want you to make this personal. Make this personal. Because He certainly wants us all to quit. You can never win against such a powerful opposition, particularly as we see the testimony. We hear a prophetic word that was 49 years ago, and now we stand in this place and look at the effects of how effective the enemy has been in culture, in society, in the church. He said that this would happen. You know, before it was prophetically given by Paul Harvey, it was prophetically given here. The Word said that there would be a day of trouble. Okay? But what you will not see is you will not see God calling the church to coward behavior. He doesn't call us to fear. He doesn't call us to shrink away. Instead, He gives us another command. The enemy says to you, be discouraged. And He'll tell you, just look at your own weakness. And then you're paralyzed. Once He's got you that focused on all the things that are happening around you, He's got you beat because He battles you between your own ears. But in this simple verse, God said to you and to me, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Now, listen to me. In order to assume the power of God's grace, we must first of all be assured that that power even exists. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying here? Do you know that the church has the power available to it? The power of the Spirit of God. The same power that rose Christ from the dead is available to the church. I'm afraid that it's become just a religious myth to much of the church. I'm afraid that many of us, we live our Christian life with a theology that doesn't practice itself in the power of our life. I'm afraid that it's starting to reveal itself in those forms. I know that there's people in this sanctuary right now that you are longing for that strength that comes from God and God alone. You're out there, aren't you? You're out there? Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. You cannot keep doing the same things you're doing, expecting different results. If you keep banging your head on a cement wall, you're still going to have a headache. It doesn't matter how much you confess the headache to be gone. If you keep banging your head on the wall, it's going to keep hurting. I'll bet you I could explain that to a 4-year-old and they would get it. But I don't. If you try to match your power against the enemy, you will be soundly defeated. I'm going to pause for a minute and I'm going to recognize the fact that Satan in the demonic presence is a powerful, powerful force. And I'm also telling you it is very well organized. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We see the effects of hell's fury. We see the effects of a society that says we do not want this Christian God. Today's headlines, what? In the military, they want to remove God from the pledge. To our military people, when they pledge to the nation, they want to remove God from that pledge. Symbolism? How can that be? How can a nation stand if it removes their God? The point is, it can't. But the church is another issue. The church is another issue. I'm afraid that one of the things that's happening is the church is removing God from our propaganda. We have to stop this madness. But the way that it's going to happen is by each one of us determining to live in the power of the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord. There's the answer. There is the answer. Our strength is in Him, the Lord. And when I say the Lord, I'm saying capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the full Godhead demonstrated in my life. That's what I intend for it to look like. That's what I intend for you to see it represented in my life as well. I don't preach this stuff to you because I think that it's just a sweet little idea that we can follow. I have decided within my heart, and part of my battle that I struggle with in preparation of sermons is I've said, Lord, please don't ever let me preach something I'm not willing to search out for myself. You know how tough that is sometimes? You know how tough that is sometimes when I know as the Holy Spirit is revealing truth to me out of His Word, and I recognize that that is not me. That is not me. That is not me. The beautiful thing from my perspective is I at least got 24 hours or a week or two before you get the chance to correct yourself. Because I already know what the message is going to be, so I can get working on it. Be strong, don't miss this word, in the Lord. In the Lord. What a simple little word. Here lies the secret of the victory over the devil. Sonship. Sonship. I've been talking to you a lot about that just because it's so real in my life now that I recognize that, wow, I am a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can inject daughter if you want, but it's talking about humanity. It's I am His, and what confidence that brings to me. Authority. What does that mean, authority? I say it to you all the time. I say to the Christian, I say you have an authority in Christ. Start living that way. Start living when you go into the godless place, whether it's a high school, a school, whether it's a building, whether it's a store, whether it's a shop, wherever you go with the anticipation that your life represents the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Start living that out. How come you're so quiet on me? Authority does not mean personal power. Again, if you try and walk in your personal strength, the enemy will take you out quickly. He is that powerful. But, right? There's always the but at the end of that statement. He is real. He is powerful. His will is to destroy you. And more than destroy you, He wants to destroy the testimony of Christ in you. That's what He wants. He hates Christ. I was going to say more than He hates you, but you are a representative of the one He hates most. And He wants to keep you distracted, and He wants to keep you weak. He doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care if you read your Bible. He doesn't care if you profess Christ. He doesn't care if you have a religious home structure. He just doesn't want you to walk in the power of the Lord. That's all. Don't walk in the power of the Lord, because if you don't walk in the power, then the name has no vitality to it. The authority that I have in Christ is not based on my education, it's not based on my intelligence, it's not based on what I know about Scripture, it's not based on my position, it's not based on the fact that I'm a pastor or that I'm a husband, a father, it's not based on any of those things. The authority that I have is because of the cross. It's an invitation that the Lord has given me. Now listen to me, the authority that I have in Christ is not based on my own power. The best example I can think of right now is, I want you to imagine a busy intersection, okay? Trucks and cars, traffic. You know what a vehicle is in terms of its size and its strength. Now imagine me dressed up in a police uniform. And I walk out into the center of that crossroad, and I go like this. How many of you know that in the flesh, I have absolutely no strength to stop that traffic that's coming. That truck could run me over just as quick as anything else. If the one driving it doesn't respect the uniform, they can plow me down and there's nothing I can do about it. That officer does not want to go into that intersection without his uniform, does he? When he goes into that intersection, he goes as a representative of something larger than himself. As much as you guys, let me ask you a personal question. I've told my family this all along. I said, when you're driving and you see a police officer, is he friend or foe? All that will be determined on whether you're lawless or not. Do you know that? See how simple that is? So is the first thing you do when you see a police officer, take your foot off the accelerator? Let's move on to the sermon. That's it. You're not having fun with that at all. You see, because what you've seen when you came up over that hill is you saw somebody that represents something. Now, I'm not talking about moral character and all that. I'm talking about the uniform. I'm talking about the car that they're in. I'm talking about the fact that they represent a law, a structure that doesn't just abide in them. It's a community. It's an entire community. See, because if somebody comes against that authority, guess what? They come against the authority of the entire society. Yes? Do you see? When somebody has authority, it is not based on their own power. It's based on the power of the representation of where that authority is given. That is what Christianity looks like. Here lies the secret of victory over the enemy. In the Lord, we are both strong and we are both secure. Colossians 3:3 says, your life is now hid with Christ in God. Listen, listen to that. Hidden, hidden with Christ. Before the enemy can touch you, he must go through. You see, if you are in God, the enemy can't get you unless he goes through Christ. You get it? It's just the same representation. I carry on, what I put on is the robe of Christ's righteousness. It represents his kingdom. And guess what? The enemy cannot get to me unless he comes through the authority of my Lord. You guys. Is there anybody out there that's getting what I'm talking about? Yes, that's such a neat thing. I'm going to feel so encouraged when I leave here. How does this play out in real life? I'm telling you, it does. It does play out. Before the enemy can touch a little piece of fuzz on this body, he has to go through my king. That's all there is to it. I do not say that with a sense of arrogance at all. I say it with absolute humility before the Lord, because if the Lord, you've heard me say it 100 times, if the Lord was to remove his grace from my life, the enemy would destroy me, the truck would run me over. But I stand with a confidence in the Lord. So what is my part? What is my part? What does it look like for me? Okay, I say my part is calm, confident, assurance. Calm, confidence, assurance of the power over the power of the enemy. Absolute confidence. Do you know in your daily experience that conquering power of his mighty grace? Do you know what it feels like? I'm telling you, it's real. So I'm talking to you about an assertion of the position in Christ. And what the words that I read to you say, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, you help me out if I've got wrong imagery. But often, so often when we think about this, we have such a defensive posture about it. It's like the church is the one in the foxhole, cowered down, waiting for the enemy to throw his next grenade. That is not the church at all. You say, well, you know, I've heard the teachings, you know. Well, you look at most of the armor is defensive. It's protective. Let me tell you what. There's a reason that sword is in your hand and in your heart. It's to storm the gates of hell. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Do you know what the gates of hell are there for? To keep the captive captive. Christian, we are an offensive body. David is a perfect illustration of what that looks like. As a teenager, he took them out. So what does it look like? Every Christian, even the smallest and the weakest. Who's the smallest and the weakest in here? A few say. The smallest and the weakest should never fear the enemy. Never. Stand up for a minute, bud. Not you. You're too big. This is a warrior.
Yeah.
Right here. Right here. Do you know that? I know. Sometimes you might think you're tough. You wrestle around with Dad. Okay? I know what that looks like. I know. But let me tell you what, this little boy, he takes up the kingdom in his heart. The enemy cannot touch him because of faith. You start living that way, man. You start living with that confidence. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. You understand why I had Dad sit down. Dad understands why I have Dad sit down. Because we have to understand the kingdom. Dad has strength. Dad has things that he can offer. Okay? We need to start asserting that position that Christ has given us. Never expect defeat. Don't you ever plan retreat. Do you hear me? None of you. And I'm saying, wait and watch as the devil runs. If you feel like you're being inundated with the presence of darkness, stand and watch the deliverance of God then. That's what you do. Stand and watch his deliverance. That's what Moses said to the Israelites, right? Here comes the army. Here comes the army of Egypt coming. Their backs are against the Red Sea. And that's what the words of Moses was. He said this, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. The deliverance of the Lord. Let me tell you where I think the deliverance happened for the people of Israel. I don't think that the deliverance happened when the water started to part. It was when God spoke and they believed. Up until that time, they were in bondage. See, it shouldn't have mattered whether the waters parted or not, right? They should have just believed him because he said it. And that needs to be us. You do not look at circumstances. That is not what we're called to. We are called to look at the God who delivers us. Ain't that right? So stand. We do not wrestle for a position of victory. I want you to listen to this. We do not wrestle for a position of victory. We wrestle from a position of victory. What I'm saying to you simply is many in the church, you're scratching and fighting and looking for a place of victory. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? I'm saying no. Victory is already ours. You are king of the hill. The enemy's trying to pull you off. Do you get the difference? The difference is many in the church were scratching to try and get to the top of that hill of victory. Christ has said it's finished already. The enemy is already defeated. We are supposed to be standing in victory already. And do you know that the only way he can get you off that hill is unbelief? That's it. The lack of faith. When you quit believing that he can and that he will and that he is. Ah, so much more to say. So I'm telling you, before the battle even starts, the victory is already won. Do you see why we praise him? Do you see why we praise him? Do you have that level of victory within your own heart? I'm just going to draw it to conclusion. I'm getting the feeling like some of you are still not getting what I'm talking about. Have you ever heard of pushing a wet noodle up a hill? Have you ever seen somebody to try and hold down ping pong balls in water? That's what I feel like right now. And I pray that there would be such a deep revelation that would start to happen in this church. And if you will not look at my words, at least you will be able to look at my life. Because I am going to live this out. I am going to live this out. You will watch me go through struggles. You will watch me go through victory. But one thing you will not see from me is a defeatist attitude or a discouraged heart that will draw me away from the King. As long as I have breath to live this out, I will live it out before Him. And I'm telling you, there will be signs and wonders that will follow them that believe. That's going to be my life. I am going to enjoy the assurance of the power that I have in Christ. Not because I have a strength of my own, but because I wear the robe that is His. That's why. I represent something that is far greater than myself. And guess what? I represent the one that is greater than he that is in me than he that is in the world. I intend on the assertion of the position that Christ has given me. I intend for my mouth to start speaking the things that are right and righteous and holy and his will from my mouth. And I anticipate that his word will go out before me. Do not overestimate the power of the enemy. But I'm telling you, sometimes, did I say that backwards? What I have written. Do not overestimate the power of the enemy as you stand in Christ. In Christ. He has been defeated by a mighty Lord. He has been. His victory is now yours, and I intend on start living that way. Anybody else?